In conclusion of the year 2021, and in nervous trepidation, or pardon me, I meant to say anxious anticipation of 2022, we're going to take a look at Psalm 90. There is a lot of help to be found here. It is an old passage that'll give you a new lease on life if you'll let it. It always saddens me how poorly human beings live their lives when we have had all of the answers all along. This 90th psalm is as old of a psalm as you can find. It was a psalm that was penned many years before the book of Psalms was even compiled, and then later on it was added to that compilation of the book of Psalms. But just look at the first verse. It was written not by David or Asaph or He-Man or any of the contemporaries of David. It was written by Moses. And Moses lived centuries before King David, the psalmist David. It is perhaps the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. And many scholars would agree to that. It is an oldie, but goodie. Most scholars agree that this psalm or song emerges out of the ashes of the events of Numbers chapter 20. And when you get to some time, read through that chapter. It is a tough chapter in the life of Moses. It's just one thing after another that went chaotically bad at the end of his life. At the beginning of the chapter, Numbers 20, Moses loses his big sister, Miriam. It is in that chapter that Moses makes that grand mistake of striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and therefore misrepresenting God before the people. So it is in this chapter that Moses commits the sin that will ultimately land him with the verdict of Moses, you can't go into the promised land. What a heartbreak that would be. All of those years of service, all of that effort, all of that anticipation of leading the nation of Israel into the promised land, all gone. As Moses is going to have to be content to go a different direction, be on the outside looking in and watch someone else, his successor Joshua, lead the nation into the final destination, the promised land. And it is in that chapter, Numbers chapter 20, at the very end, where Moses then loses his big brother, the high priest of the nation, Aaron. It is that kind of year for Moses. It is that kind of chapter in the life of Moses from which he sits down to pen this psalm that we are going to study tonight. It is with that viewpoint that I build this study. It is, with that said, a fairly depressing psalm from a guy who has had a very tough year. It is one of those life stinks and then you die, but God is still good kind of psalms, something you might expect to read from Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Life stinks, then you die. But not to take anything away from the Lord. The Lord is still good. The Lord is still faithful. It's that kind of psalm. And that's why I think it's going to make this study very timely and applicable for quite a few of us. Because just back up to 2020. Back up to 2020 for a minute. 2020 was no walk in the park. We were in quarantine. We weren't even allowed to walk in the park. And 2021 was probably no better, maybe worse for many of us. Now, if that's not your frame of reference tonight, if that's not the position of your mindset and the placement of your life tonight, and you're doing well and you had a great year, praise the Lord for that. But I think probably the majority of us have had the other kind of year where it's just been tough. You know, life is different now in the day and age that we live in with the challenges that we face. I know that many of us have lost loved ones this year. So I think this psalm, this instruction that we're getting right before our new year is very pertinent to life for us. I think it's going to be close to the heart, and I do believe it's going to be a help. Some of what we are going to study will be a fresh approach to a new season of life. And some of what we find in this psalm will be more of a focus on taking in what has already happened in our year, processing that, getting closure on that so that we can then, with the proper heart and frame of mind, move into that new season of life that we are looking forward to, 2022, unencumbered by our past. It is that winning combination of letting go, genuinely letting go, and then moving on. It's that perfect recipe for a better shot at a better year next year. So straight from these verses, what I'm going to do is just give you some five very easy, very simple, and yet I believe deeply profound truths from this chapter that are going to help you to close out the old in biblical fashion and welcome in an all-new season of life. I'll give those truths to you up front, and then we will go back through and work our way through them, and more importantly, I hope, let them work their way through us. Truth number one, God is steady. Remember it. That's verses 1 and 2. God is steady. Remember it. Truth number 2, we are unsteady. Accept it. That's verses 3 through 8. We are unsteady. Accept it. Truth number 3, life is short. Adjust it. That's found in verses 9 through 12. Life is short. Adjust it. Truth number 4, the past is tough. Resolve it. That's verses 13 through 15. And then truth number 5, the plan was flawed. Change it. Verses 16 and 17. The plan was flawed. Change it. Let's go through those one at a time. Truth number 1, God is steady. Remember it. Verses 1 and 2. Let's read those. Verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. First of all, notice this is a prayer. Yes, it's in the book of Psalms, so it's a psalm too. It is a prayer in the form of a song. It is a prayer from Moses to God, because when you pastor 3 million people for 40 years in the dry desert, you're going to talk to the Lord an awful lot. You're going to have an awful lot of conversations with him. And this is one of those conversations that we got to read about. Here's where Moses begins his prayer. An acknowledgement that God was their dwelling place. They say home is where the heart is, and I agree. Therefore, if the Lord has your heart, then God is home. That's where you live. You spend your life in the presence of God. Nothing else feels comfortable, cozy, and home to you but the presence of God. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. And that is the revelation that Moses had in the writing of Psalm 90. It is quite an advanced revelation for an Old Testament man, especially a man that was leading a displaced and seemingly homeless nation through the wilderness wanderings. For those 40 years of desert wandering, they had one thing in mind, one goal: get home, get to Canaan. The thought process was this: when we get to Canaan, we've finally been able to get home. We finally made it. We finally arrived. But Moses, near the end of that entire experience, has made a massive discovery. They weren't just traveling to home, but according to Moses, God was their home all along. Said another way, God was their stability. He was their constant. And you might even say he was their anchor, because we're fond of anchors around here. The Lord was the steadiness in their lives, and no matter where they found themselves, no matter the ups and downs, the victories or defeats, there was a constant in all of it for the nation. The constant was God. And because of God's steadiness, his steadfastness, his sturdiness, they could have, notice my emphasis, they could have felt at home no matter where they were. Because the truth is, for the believer, this world is not our home. The Lord is. And anywhere he is, where his presence is, that's where home is for the believer. Now, they could have had that sense of at-homeness everywhere they went. Marah, where the water was bitter. You know, location after location, they could have felt at home because God was with them. It's one of those lessons in life you kind of pick up afterwards, after it's too late. You know, you look back over the year, or in this case, over the years, and you go, oh, we missed it. The Lord was there in that sense, that strong reality all along, and we totally whiffed on it because we were looking forward to something in the future when God was so very present with us in the present. It's an incredible truth in my estimation. Moses had to reach pretty far back into his memory banks, further than just the previous year, for that revelation, which brings us to a simple truth that holds consistent for all of this message that we are studying tonight, and that is that sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes it's unhealthy to base your opinion of God merely on what you have recently been through. That's not entirely fair to God. At times, that just won't do. But when you look back over your past in larger chunks of time, you're able to give God a more fair look. You're able to look at things in a more balanced and accurate way because you're seeing a larger volume, a larger body of God's work in your life. It may be true that he permitted you to have a tough year or a tough couple years. Maybe he has seemed slow to listen or slow to respond to you. Maybe he has seemed not active, disengaged, slow to intervene in your life. All of those things may be true, legitimately true. And when they are, it's because the Lord has very good and perfect reasonings for that. But whatever you do, be careful that you don't define God by a small window of time. It's just not fair. Don't be short-sighted and narrow-minded. Look back further. This year may have been tough, maybe the last couple years, but over a long period of time, it's where you will be able to more clearly understand and see the steadiness and the sturdiness of God in your life. Moses says in verse 2, you are God, and you always have been. Before the earth was even formed, from everlasting to everlasting, Lord, you were Almighty God, and you are and will be. The Hebrew word olam, olam, which is translated as everlasting. It's often translated either as eternity or everlasting. Here it is translated as everlasting, and that word literally means vanishing point. This is the concept from which eternity emerges and sort of evolves throughout the scripture. It is the idea of from vanishing point to vanishing point. Let me put that in my words for you. That means you look back as far as you can look, and you look forward as far as you can look, and when you've looked as far as you can look with the memory, with the eyes, and with the imagination, you haven't even come close. God pre-existed as far back as you can imagine. He will continue existing way beyond what you can fathom up in your mind. It is the idea of the greatness of God, the infiniteness of God. Now, I told you that this was a glum chapter, but if we were forced to pick out the highest and holiest truth of all of this, of everything that Moses is going to talk about, this is what we'd have to pick. Verses 1 and 2. That God is, in my words, awesome. God is everything. So I say good on Moses that despite great life difficulty, despite having had a very bad year that was filled with personal loss, despite disappointment in self and state, as it were, nonetheless, he does not lose his view of God. He manages to maintain a proper and right view about the Lord. So he has passed the most basic test that a believer could be put to. I wonder how we do with the same test. How do you do? Do you blame all your disappointments on the Lord? I had a bad year. The Lord is just not very good, or he doesn't care about me very much. Or during those tough times, during the disappointments, during the discouragements, during the heartbreaks, do you hang on to the Lord for dear life and just thank him for his presence? Just thank him for seeing you through those tough times. Those two different viewpoints, those two different answers to that test, one is pass and one is fail. And I mentioned them in reverse order. So Moses, he gets it. He's passed that test that the Lord, he is Adonai in the verse. He's the Almighty. He is the ruler of all. He is God. He is creator God. He created all things. He has been steady and sturdy for you and your family. No matter what you faced, lift up your eyes high enough to see that highest and holiest truth that Moses begins the psalm with. And then don't ever forget it. That was point number one. Here's point number two. Truth number two, we, in contrast, we are unsteady. Accept it. Deal with it. Verses 3 through 8. Let's read. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. Verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. Verse 5. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. Verse 6. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. 7. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. Verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Now, verse 3 is not translated very well in either the King James Version or the New King James Version. The ESV, the English Standard Version, does a far better job here. It translates it as follows. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. So the point of that verse is that that is the constant pull on all of us toward the grave. Ecclesiastes 3:20, all are from the dust and all return to dust. That's what Moses is talking about. So in verse 3, we are finite, but God is infinite. In verse 4, we are time-bound, but the Lord is timeless. In verses 5 and 6, we are temporal, but God is eternal. It is a very humbling section of verses. It was a very humbling confession for Moses, and it would be for us too to assent to that truth. It would be a humbling confession for us. But this is what Moses witnessed with his own eyes. This was his life experience. He watched hundreds of his brothers and sisters dying in the desert daily. There wasn't anything to do but to watch that generation pass away. That was the decree of the Lord. And if that's all you had to do was watch the old generation that was filled with doubt and complaint, all you had to do was watch them pass away. If that was your really your only station, then what that would do is that would produce a pretty glum outlook on anything based off of the physical, right? Because the physical is very temporary. It's passing away. And Moses watched brother after sister pass away in the desert. It has been said that time is a great healer, but a horrible beautician. Time is a great healer, but a horrible beautician. I would agree with that. These bodies are not steady. They are changing daily. And up until about 30 years old or so, they're changing for the better. And then after about 30 years or so, they're changing for the worse. It's the process of aging. That's what we call it because it makes us feel better about it. But what it really is it's the process of slowly dying. It's the process of slowly returning to the dust. So our bodies don't get better and better after a certain point. They get worse and worse, but hey, thank the Lord for his mercy. He decided to throw in along with that that our eyesight would also equally get worse and worse as we go. So the worse you look, the harder it is to really tell because you can't see. Your eyesight just keeps getting worse. So here's the key to aging gracefully. If you use glasses, keep them away from mirrors. You know, when you're before the mirror, just put your glasses down. You'll be good. You'll be able to age with grace. But verses 7 and 8, this is not just about the unsteadiness of our fleshly bodies. It is about the unsteadiness of our righteousness. Did you catch that? And consequently, that means the shakiness of the overall human experience. Moses and the nation had suffered the wrath of God, verse 7, and they knew why, verse 8. It was their own sin. It was their own failure. The nation knew the reason for every punishment that they were leveled by the Lord. And Moses knew the reason why he was banished from the promised land. They knew. It was self-inflicted. And maybe this is a good place in the passage for some of us to take a necessary pause and come to that place where we as we come to the close of our year, we make that acknowledgement that a lot of the suffering that we did in the year 2021, a lot of the problems we faced in daily life, was self-inflicted. Can you look back on stuff and say, man, I totally caused that. That pain, that burden, that problem, that was all me. None of you? Just me then. Okay, well, I have a lot of them that I can look back on and say, Lord, I know why I went through that. It's because I did this. Lord, I know why that burden or that suffering was on me. It's because here's where I got off track. Here's where I caused the problem. Totally self-inflicted. Our lives as human beings are marked by shakiness, unsteadiness. Our bodies fail. They wither and die. Our hearts are sinful. We try our best, but we just can't attain perfect righteousness, and there's no hiding it. As the passage says, the Lord sees it all. He's aware of everything, every failure, every sin. And when we do fail and when we do sin, we sort of move God's hand to correct us, don't we? He has to. He loves us. So that's self-inflicted, and it's a necessary part of the struggle of life, but we could do ourselves much better if we're going to just avoid some of those self-inflicted wounds. So what do you do with those two truths? Truth number one was what? God is steady. Truth number two, we are unsteady. What do you do with those two truths? Well, there's only one thing you can do with those two truths. There's only one recourse that you can take, and that is if we are going to find stability in this life, we're going to have to look apart from ourselves, and we're going to have to look to him. He is our stability in a very unstable world and in a very unstable fleshly human body. The next truth, number three. I like this one a lot. Truth number three, life is short. Adjust it. Life is short. Adjust it. Verses 9 through 12, let's read. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, which is amazing because I had no idea that's how long that show ran. I'm sorry, really bad joke. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 11, who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Verse 12, listen closely. I love this verse. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I love that verse. Life is short. What do we get, church? What do we get? If all goes well, if all goes to plan, we get about 70 years of age. 70 years on the planet. Now, if we excel at taking care of our bodies, if that's one of our strengths, if we treat our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit, then maybe we get 80 years. But you know, you always have those overachievers, and they're like, 80 years? Pfft, watch me. And so you have those overachievers that hit 90 and 100 and even 110, and some people have even eclipsed the 110 mark, but nonetheless, it's still nothing. It's so short. It is so fast. James 4:14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. It's a puff of wind. Here today, gone tomorrow. When you're young, time seems to go slow for you. I miss those days. Man, my first 13 years took forever. It took at least 4 or 5 decades. I know it. And young people are always trying to push the envelope to be older. Did you notice that? The 6-year-old can't wait to be 12 years old because at 12 years old, he can shoot a BB gun. The 12-year-old can't wait to be 13 because then the 12-year-old can say, I'm a teenager. The 13-year-old can't wait to be 16 because he can drive a car. And the 16-year-old can't wait to be 25 and married. So it's that constant, well, some people, it's that constant pushing life, trying to get life to hurry up. But then you reach a certain age where you're no longer pushing life and trying to hurry it along. You're no longer trying to get older. You're on the other side of that thing, and you're digging your heels in, and you're trying to slow that thing down. Because all that pushing in life that you did, you found out it got away from you, and now it's what? It's topping the hill, and you're doing all you can to slow it down and hang on for dear life. It's amazing. So you ask the young person, how old are you? And they squeeze out every day. They'll be like, I'm 12 and 7/8. I'm almost 13. But then you ask an old person, Arlen, how old are you? 45. But Arlen, don't you have a birthday in 2 months? Aren't you going to be 40? I said, I'm 45. Drop it. Right? That's how it goes. Now, what Moses has prayed for is actually pretty brilliant. It is an adjustment, a fine-tuning to the way that he approaches living his life. It is the only way, at least that I can think of and come up with, to make life appear to slow down a little bit. It's the only way to get more out of life and find more enjoyment in the number of your days. And here it is, as Moses told us in that last verse there, here's what we need. We need to learn how to number, not our years, we're already good at that. We need to learn how to number our days. That is, we have to place a greater emphasis on this day and not so much on this year. Do you see the difference? It is committing to live for Christ to the fullest today, and then managing to be in that same frame of mind and motivation for every day that follows, or at least every day that is humanly possible for you. So it is being present and living in the moment. It's being in the here and now. If your goal is, I want to have a good and full year in the Lord, good luck. That is probably not going to do it for you. That's probably not going to get you off of the couch, because it'll end up being this. I want this year to be a good and full year in the Lord, and I'll get started on that any day now, as soon as the kids are back to school, as soon as the weather gets better. We always have something. We procrastinate. Boy, this message is convicting me right now. I learned an important lesson this week on why not to procrastinate. There's always going to be something, if we're looking at the big picture, if we're looking at the year, and we're trying to decide what the year is going to be, there's always going to be something to cause you to put it off and delay and waste your days. But if the emphasis is on this day, and what I can do for the Lord right now, and how I can serve the Lord right now, that's the kind of stuff that gets you off the couch. If you made a determination for this day, then you're going to get up and move this day, and you're going to fulfill whatever your goal is for that day. Now, I was thinking about this shift in perspective as I was studying this message, so I got online and I found one of those online age calculators. And as of today, 45 years old, only 45, I am officially 16,758 days old. And I know that somehow that is supposed to make me feel better about my life, but somehow it doesn't. So thanks a lot, Moses. You got me looking at days, and now I feel older. With that in mind, here's my advice to you. When it comes to the present and the future, number your days. But when it comes to the past, the days that are behind you, you should probably default to numbering them back by years so that you don't feel really old. That's truth number three. Life is short. Adjust it. Approach it differently. Tackle it day by day. Here's truth number four. The past is tough. Resolve it. The past is tough. Resolve it. Verses 13 through 15. Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. So you know, there are a lot of very unfortunate truths. I'll give you a few metaphors. You can't take the bullet back after the trigger has been pulled. You can't undo something that was done. You can't unsay something that you said. You can't really right your wrongs. So for black marks in your history, your only option is to ask the Lord to be compassionate with you over your sins and over your failures. So in this case, as we're taking a reflective look on the past year, here's what we need to do. We need to settle all of those failures and those sins from our year that perhaps we are uneasy with and wrestling with and still feeling guilt from. And it is something that the scriptures teach us can be and should be done. That is, as Moses put it here, we can be completely satisfied in knowing that God's mercy has covered our past mistakes. This is the only way that you can get closure on a a shady or a dark past. It is this: resting by faith in God's mercy for your faults, failures, and sins. That is enough. That is enough. It is enough to bring tremendous joy to the heart, even from the background of terrible sin and failure, even from the background, like Moses, of an extremely difficult year. It is enough to bring you rejoicing in the Lord. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And might I just remind you that when Paul wrote that, he did not write that from the hotel room at Nemecolon. He wrote that from a Roman dungeon. Paul was having a tough year, and yet he was good at trusting in the Lord as his mercy, as his life, as his all, so that he could find joy even in that situation in the Lord. Now, I am not suggesting that you have to like everything that happened this year or the last handful of years. I'm suggesting that regardless of what you've experienced, you can make the choice with no excuses. You can make the choice to have joy in the Lord. You can choose to have joy in Him because there's so many things to be joyous about. You can choose to have joy in the Lord because of your position in Him, because of your promises from Him, because of your capabilities through Him, because of your future because of Him. Take your pick, man. There are all kinds of options available if you're looking for joy, regardless of what the background is. No excuses. If you want joy in your life, it's a choice you can make. And there's lots of options to choose from, all found in the Lord. And choosing anything other than joy, because of how good the Lord is missing the mark. I mean, not even coming close. It's making a total whiff at what the Lord would have you to aim for. Now, last of all, truth number five, the plan was flawed. Change it. The plan was flawed. Change it. Verses 16 and 17. Moses said to the Lord, let your work, notice the capital letter, capital Y, let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. I love that statement. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. As biblically educated as we are, I still think the greatest pandemic in the church is church people that are living for themselves instead of living for God. It's a convenient little game we play. It's a great little way to kind of include God in sections of our lives. You know, Lord, I'll give you Sunday, maybe Wednesday. And if I have a slow week at the office, maybe I'll give you another day throughout the week. Lord, I'll incorporate some of you into some of my week. We do that to kind of ease our conscience and make us feel like we're doing what we're supposed to when we know that the scriptures calls for all. We know that the scriptures tell us that God has to be all. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Everything else is going to find a secondary place in our lives. So it's God first. It's Him making plans. It's Him directing. Our part is only this: listen, obey, follow. That's what it's supposed to be. We are made and meant to follow. Jesus taught us to lay down our lives for His sake. He said, if you lay down your life, that's when you're really going to find it. If you abandon your plans for your life, and you'll find, if you'll discover and do God's plans for your life, That's when you're really going to find out what true living is and how good it can be in a fleshly body. That's what the scripture teaches us. So this is a truth, church. I hope you know it. Maybe you ought to write it down. And that is that every area of our lives that we keep back for ourselves, I guarantee you, these are going to be the areas in your life which produce the discontentment, the problem, and the pain. Mark my words. Those areas of life that you keep back, those are going to be the ones that trouble you this year. They're probably the ones that troubled you in the past year. So we have to learn this new vision for life. It's what Moses found in this chapter. It's a new vision for his life that was predicated on this simple truth, finding out what God wants and then going with that. His work. Look at some of the key words in there. His work, his glory, his beauty, his plan. It's a completely different approach to living life. It's predicated on discovery. Discovering the work, not that you want to do, but the work that the Lord wants you to do. Lord, Moses says, you establish the work of our hands for us. Don't let us pick the work. Don't let us choose how we're serving you. Lord, you map that all out for us and we'll just discover it and do it. We want to be doing with our hands, with our lives, what you've chosen for us. It is discovering his will, his plan, his glory. It's not getting God on our side. It's getting us, ourselves on God's side. It's finding out what God is doing and where God is going and then getting on board with that. It's a statement that Chuck Smith used to always make. Find out what God is doing. Find out where he's going. Find out what's important to him and you get on board with that. That's when big things can really happen. Instead of picking your sides and making your plans and saying, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you blessing what I want to do? Better for you to just do what the Lord wants you to do. That takes the sensitivity of discovery. It's what Moses is praying for. The great secret of life is not finding out what you think you want. The great secret of life is finding out what he wants for your life. So, five truths to help you close out the old and welcome in an all-new season, an all-new better season of life in 2021. Truth number one. We'll recap in closing. Truth number one, God is steady. Remember it. Don't forget it. Verses 1 and 2. Truth number two, we are unsteady. Accept it. Verses 3 through 8. You cannot rely on yourself. That is a shaky life experience in the making. You're going to have to rely on the Lord. Truth number three, life is short. Adjust it. Verses 9 through 12. Church, learn to number your days. Live life for him to the fullest, day by day. Make every day count for Christ. Truth number four, the past is tough. Resolve it, verses 13 through 15. No matter how dicey your past is, you can have complete peace and satisfaction if you'll do what you're supposed to, and that is have faith in his mercy for your failures. John says in 1 John 1 that because of what Jesus did on the cross, that when we ask for forgiveness, when we ask for mercy, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. In other words, he promises that he'll do it, number one. But number two, it is the right thing for him to do. It is the just thing for him to do because that price has already been paid. Your past has already been committed to the Lord, and you're his in your future. So, truth number five, in closing, the plan was flawed. Change it. Verses 16 and 17. If 2021 derailed for you, here's the problem right here. The plan was flawed. Why was it flawed? Because it was your plan. As Moses reflects on the nation and what happened, so much of the problem was that people wouldn't abandon their plan and get on board with the Lord's. So let me encourage you with this, church. One last word of admonishment or exhortation. You tried things your way last year. It's all right, you can claim it. Did you? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you did great. But this is for those that tried things their way last year. You gave it a shot. You gave it a go. It is time to bring that to a close and do things the Lord's way in this coming year, 2022. God bless you. Let's stand and close in prayer. We're starting this year off on the right foot. We're getting out early on a Wednesday night. Man, all new season this year. All new wonderful season. Father, bless your holy name today. We exalt you because you are the only one worthy of our exaltation. You have created all of this. We failed. We sinned against you. We broke our fellowship. And yet you, being so filled with mercy and grace, took it upon yourself to rectify our situation, to send Christ to redeem us. Thank you for the shed blood of our Savior, which gives us every right and privilege to put behind us the things that we need to leave behind us so that we can move on this year completely undistracted from the pains and the guilts of the past, that we might be free to serve you in all new wonderful ways this year. I pray that over our fellowship tonight. I ask, Lord, give us the reset in our hearts and in our lives that we so desire from you. Set us free from the patterns and the habits that have directed the course of our years, perhaps for many years. Set us free from that. Give us all new spiritual habits and patterns, even spiritual addictions that keep us just so enthused, not just emotionally, but enthused deep down in the heart and spirit over what you can do through a life that is totally submitted to you. God, each voice, each heart that will raise up tonight and pray for a deeper level of commitment this year, I ask you to grant it. I know it is according to your will. Bless this fellowship. Meet the needs that are here. Heal the heartbreaks and the pains that we have suffered. Heal the sicknesses that we are experiencing in this fellowship. And Lord, tie this church family together with a tighter bond of love and unity this year. In the name of Jesus, amen. We love you, Lord. Thank you. God bless. Sunday. See you then.